Om namo Vasudevaya. Today we're reading from Canto 6. Prescribed duties for mankind, wasn't it? Yes. Prescribed duties for mankind. Chapter number 5. Narada Muni cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Text number 38. Is that right? 39. Not that it matters, but let's just see what I was told I was supposed to be doing. 38. We've got 39 there, have we?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Did we actually do 38 yesterday? Does anybody recall? Yep, we did. All right, no worries. Let's move on. Namo Bhagavata Nityam.
Namo Bhagavata Nityam.
Bhutanugraha Kataraha. All the devotees of the Lord But you, and this is Duchess speaking to Narada Muni, who's the epitome of compassion. So there's a certain amount of irony in this. All the devotees of the Lord, but you, are very kind to the conditioned souls and are eager to benefit others. Although you wear the dress of a devotee, you create enmity with people who are not your enemies. Or you break friendship and create enmity between friends. Are you not ashamed of posing as a devotee while performing these abominable actions? Purport. Such are the criticisms that must be borne by the servants of Narada Muni in the disciplic succession. Through the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we are trying to train young people to become devotees and return home back to Godhead by following rigid regulated principles. But our service is appreciated neither in India nor abroad in the Western countries where we are endeavouring to spread this Krishna Consciousness Movement. Ooh, and this is, you know, there's a lot in this sentence here. A lot that could be unpacked. In India, the caste Brahmanas have become enemies of the Krishna Consciousness Movement because we elevate foreigners who are supposed to be Mlechas and Yavanas to the position of Brahmanas. We train them in austerities and penances and recognize them as Brahmanas by awarding them sacred threads. Thus, the caste of Brahmanas of India are very displeased by our activities in the Western world. In the West also, the parents of the young people who join this movement have also become enemies. We have no business creating enemies, but the process is such that non-devotees will always be inimical toward us. Nevertheless, as stated in the Shastras, a devotee should be both tolerant and merciful. What's that? Tatichava Karunika. Kapila Das instruction. Devotees engaged in preaching should be prepared to be accused by ignorant persons. And yet, they must be very merciful to the fallen conditioned souls. If one can execute his duty in the disciplic succession of Narada Muni, his service will surely be recognized. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 18, text 68 and 69. Ya idam param guhyam bhakti mayi param kritva maam ivasyatya samshayaha na cha tasman manushyeshu kaskin me priyakritamaha bhavita na cha me tasmaha anya priyataro bhuvi. For one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. Let us continue preaching the message of Lord Krishna and not be afraid of enemies. Our only duty is to satisfy the Lord by this preaching. Only duty. which will be accepted as service by Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. We must sincerely serve the Lord and not be deterred by so-called enemies. In this verse, the word solidarnam, a breaker of friendship, is used because Narada Muni and the members of his disciplic succession disrupt friendships and family life. In this verse, the word solidarnam, a breaker of friendship, is used, full stop. Because Narada Muni and the members of his disciplic succession disrupt friendships and family life, they are sometimes accused of being solidarnam, creators of enmity between relatives. Actually, such devotees are friends of every living entity, but they are misunderstood to be enemies. Preaching can be a difficult, thankless task, but a preacher must follow the orders of the Supreme Lord and be unafraid of the jealousy person. Om Gyanatirandasya Nandana Sadakaya Chapsurum Yudhitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopishtam Saptam Yena Gurave Swayam Rupa Kada Madhyam Dilatisvaradikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Sanjayate Girim Yatripatamaham Bande Sri Guru Nisanam. So, there's a few points here. Prabhupada makes a point that preaching or encouraging encouraging people to reawaken their spiritual identity, their original position, and a position in which they'll be happy and satisfied. Naturally creates enmity. And you know, we see here Narada Muni has identified that the Hariyashvas, and I think it's and the Sarvalakshas are all qualified to take the renounce order, right. And that instruction is not necessarily relevant for everybody. But certainly, we see here where Daksha was attached to the results of his activities, which is, it's natural. It's natural. I see, I've observed this recently. We're negotiating with our lawyer on some immigration topics, and it's taking time. And I've been through this so many times, I've kind of got a little bit, oh, there's another obstacle, oh, there's something else that we've got to do, there's this or there's that or the other thing. And so it's like, okay, what's next? Right? But Kundalata, who's doing the work, she's getting frustrated. Oh, what do we have to go through this again? We've done this 100 times. And so she's getting a little annoyed because she's doing it. I'm observing, so I can be like, oh, this is okay. But she's doing it, and so naturally she's attached. And that's fair enough. That's even for devotees, we're attached to our service. Nothing wrong with that. And we're also attached, well, we should be attached to making sure that our service is done at the highest level of bhakti, which is attention to detail. Especially in deity worship. We should be attached to seeing that our service is done nicely. But in this particular case, Dutch is attached to his sons performing duties that are actually not appropriate for him, for them, sorry. In that these are highly qualified young men, and they're trained in the processes of renunciation and detachment. They've gone to, what is it, Narayana Sagara, isn't it? And they've performed austerities for thousands of years. And so, whilst that was done with the aim of then following in the footsteps of their father and for service, the Dutch's service, what that also, and that made them qualified for that service. In one sense, it did make them qualified, but it also made them qualified to take up devotional practice and to basically, you know, cut off their ties with any material affection. And that's the difference between Dutch and his sons. Dutch is a Sakam Bhaktat. Or Prabhupada says in that previous verse or the previous purport, he's a Kami. But he's still a devotee. Otherwise, how does he get to see Lord Vishnu? But he's materially, what does Rupa Goswami say? He's haunted by the ghosts and bewitched, is it? He's got a spell cast on him by the witch of the witch and the ghost of Bhukti and Mukti. Right? But a pure devotee is free from those kind of desires. Well, we see with Daksha, and we see with devotees who are not the Kanishtha or a not very advanced devotee has material affection or material attachment. Even the examples that Rupa Goswami gives in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu of the four types of devotees that are the surrender to Krishna, at least three of them are considered to have material motivations, somewhat material motivations. Right? Who's the first one? The seeker of relief from distress. Who's the example?
Gajendra.
Yes. Why was he in distress? He had a crocodile chomping on his foot. Krishna. But pious, right? He was in distress, but who did he seek refuge of? Lord Narayana. Yeah. The seeker of wealth. Who's the example for the seeker of...
Dhruva
Maharaj. He wanted a planet greater than his grandfather, basically, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or father? Grandfather. Lord Brahma. Yeah, which, and what planet is greater than Lord Brahma's planet? What is it?
The pole star.
He got the pole star, but what's greater if Brahma's is the planet or local is the whole of the universe, what's greater than that?
Vaikuntha.
Yeah, the spiritual world. So, but Dhruva is still counted amongst one materially motivated because he wanted he wanted to be more powerful than Lord Brahma. And then, who's the other? The inquisitive. Who's the inquisitive? Who's the inquisitive? The example of the inquisitive. Huh? The sages of Namashamanya. Yes. And then who's the example of the Jnani? Or those who know that Krishna is the Supreme.
Sukadeva Goswami.
He's read the Nectar of Devotion. I'm teaching the Nectar of Devotion at the moment, so that's... Chatushkumar, the four Kumaras. They already were situated on the Brahman platform, practically speaking, right? So, there are devotees who have their sankaras, they have desires, they have material desires. But of course, Bhagavatam says, what is it? Akama, Savakama, Moktukama, it doesn't matter actually. We may have material desires, most of us do have material desires. But if we focus bhakti divrina, if we focus on bhakti yoga, we become purified. Right? So, Daksha is an attached devotee, but his sons, due to the performance of their austerities, were ripe for bhakti and to be detached from material motivations. They were purified. And Narada Muni knew that. He's a compassionate devotee. And of course, this is an art, actually, being able to work out who's who and at what point we should encourage someone towards renunciation and at what point should we encourage somebody towards their natural propensity as a householder, effectively. Right? So we identify who's a single person and who can be encouraged in that direction and who's, generally speaking, a householder and can be encouraged. And most people fall into which category? Which one do you think? In our experience. Householders. Yes, householders. And we glorify the householders. Right? The sacrifice of the householder is equal to, if not more important than that of the sannyasi. Right? Is that right? At least we should encourage them in that way. Because it's not easy. And when you think about it, working hard, and the service of the householder is looking after their business, looking after their family, educating their children, feeding their children, right? Important. So, Narada Muni is able to recognize, Narada Muni his main concern, as is any devotee's concern, is for the welfare of others. He's always thinking about the benefit of others. And he's encouraging the Hariyashvas and the Sarvalashvas because he can recognize their qualification, but of course that really upsets poor their father, Daksha. I remember when I've told this story many times, but when I rang up my mum and I told her that I was living in a temple, and she said, "Oh no, Mandy, you sound like a parrot already." Right? I said, "Mum, I haven't said anything yet." But she was worried. What's happened? My son's been brainwashed by the Hare Krishnas. Huh? What's going to happen? So this, and it's ignorance. My mum said later, 10 years later, she said, "I was embarrassed that my son became a Hare Krishna. But then I was embarrassed because I didn't know why I was embarrassed." Right? So it's basically ignorance. She was ignorant. And then, of course, when Mum and Dad found out about what I was actually doing, they came to the temple and they saw everything. Then they started to, okay, this is serious. It's not as crazy as perhaps they thought it might be, or people thought it was. But there's that, because of that ignorance, then, and we can see that ignorance in Daksha, and we see that ignorance here, there were in the 70s, there were parents paying deprogrammers to kidnap their children and take them away from the temple. Is that right? Ask the old timers about the stories. And it was It was when I joined the temple, a couple of weeks after I joined, there had been this conflict between the deprogrammers and the devotees, and I went to the Brahmachari Ashram was up here, and Korma's room was over here somewhere, and we used to sleep down this end. The second time party. No, I wasn't part of the second time party then, but anyway, somewhere, I was in the ashram somewhere, and I came back from the bathroom at 4:15, and then I was suddenly this loud, and came upstairs, and they fired a shotgun through the window of Korma's room, and also fired a shotgun through Prabhupada's, the window of Prabhupada's room. And at that point I was thinking, gee, I thought the Hare Krishnas were peace and love. what have I got myself into? But that's that's the kind of, if enmity can be created, as Prabhupada says, and we have to be tolerant and merciful at the same time, right? Prabhupada mentions that here. Although it's interesting, prior to that, Prabhupada says, we're creating enmity in the West, but also in India. Right? Interesting. And Prabhupada was being, not only was Prabhupada being criticized for making Brahmanas, he was being criticized by his godbrothers for some of the initiatives that he embraced or recognized were necessary to expand Krishna consciousness. Setting 16 rounds as a standard was somewhat controversial. Initiating Westerners who weren't born in Brahmin families as Brahmanas was controversial, even amongst his godbrothers. Allowing women to live in ashrams was some of Prabhupada's godbrothers felt that he was corrupting Vaishnavism. And he was being criticized. Prabhupada was being criticized not only by the Brahmins but also by his godbrothers, which he felt that acutely. Prabhupada felt those criticisms acutely because he felt they were unfair. He was preaching, right? His Prabhupada was immensely proud of Mukunda, Ben Mukunda, Shamsundara, Gurudas, Malati, Jamuna, and Chanaki. Prabhupada was immensely proud of those devotees. The relationship that Srila Prabhupada had with Jamuna, as an example, was exceptional. Prabhupada, she looked up to Srila Prabhupada as if he was her father, practically speaking. And he looked upon her as if she was his daughter. And, if you haven't, I strongly recommend read the biography of Jamuna, because in there you get to see how Prabhupada's affection and appreciation and protection, love and protection of his female disciples is exceptional. And, there's a story where Prabhupada was walking, he'd go for his morning walk on the Twittenhurst estate, and a bit of gravel would get in his gumboots, right? And so he would stop, and Jamuna would kneel down and take his shoe off, and Prabhupada would then lean on her. Right? He would lean on Jamuna. And Gurudas was taking pictures. Right? And very affectionate exchange, because Jamuna said, she made a comment along the lines of, I think the gravel wants to be close to your lotus feet. Prabhupada said, I see it differently. But he told Gurudas, don't publish these preachers. Don't publish these preachers. If my God brothers see them, they won't understand. Because ordinarily, sannyasi just shouldn't have anything, you know, should. Lord Chaitanya is an example. His venerable disciples would pay obeisances from distance. So, in preaching, automatically there will be misunderstanding. People will misunderstand the motivations of a devotee, the purposes, and even the practices sometimes. Right? And so that creates this friction. Whereby a devotee will be unnecessarily criticized. Right? And that's what's, Duksha's really is ironical because, and of course, it illustrates the danger of material facility, of even being a devotee, because Duksha saw Lord Vishnu. He's not an ordinary person. By the performance of his rituals, it mentions in the Bhagavatam, austerities and rituals, he got to see Lord Narayan, and he was given the blessings to perform this service. But still, he became a little proud. And because of that pride, then he became a little critical of Narayana, because he's attached too. He wanted to see his sons. And that, this is the influence of the false ego, ahankara, that makes you feel like you're the doer. Which affects all of us. And as a consequence, because his service was being impacted, then he was highly critical of Narayana. But of course, we appreciate Narayana as the epitome of our sampradaya, if you like. As a preacher, we know him as a preacher. Narada Muni Vajaya Vina, right, Kavamana. Namine, that was mentioned in the verse that I gave class on 2 weeks or so ago. But also, interestingly, and I mentioned this the other day, but it's worth repeating again, Narada Muni I was listening to this comes later in this canto. Narada Muni in the Narayan Gavacha is prayed to protect us from offences committed in worshipping the deity. Right. So, and our process of devotional service is hearing and chanting and preaching, but it also is closely assimilated with deity worship. And of course, Narada Muni also is the Narada Pancharatra, which gives us guidelines on how to worship the deities as well. And of course, critical for our success as devotees is there's the Bhagavata Vidhi, but there's also the Pancharatra Vidhi. So the preaching, hearing and chanting Hare Krishna, there's our japa, and chanting Hare Krishna, our sankirtan, and our study of the Bhagavata, of the Shastra, and also our teaching and distributing. There's that side, and that's most, that's considered the most important, but still, there's deity worship as well. You know, Prabhupada says, book distribution is more important than establishing temples. Prabhupada makes this point. Still, if we look at Prabhupada's life, what did he spend? He spent a good part of his life translating and printing and encouraging the distribution of books. Yes, he did that. But what did he do with the rest of the time? What did he do? Temples, yeah, for which we greatly fortunate to have a nice temple. Although when Prabhupada, Chandra tells the story, how when Prabhupada came into the temple room and paid his obeisances and then stood up and said, it's not big enough. And the place of the time can, well, it's huge. Of course now, we know Prabhupada's vision was much broader than, you know, what he was doing in the 70s even. He could see that he knew. So Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis into deity worship. And he wanted high standards. But it's interesting, I was talking to Sringa Kavacha the other day, we were talking about this point. He said, well, Prabhupada was also very pragmatic. And, you know, when he installed Radha Gopinath, it's a good example. Because you'd have to say that most of the devotees that he initiated and gave Brahman initiation to weren't, what do you think? How qualified were they as Brahmanas? They didn't even know what a Brahman thread was. But Prabhupada initiated them. And they were so sincere, so dedicated to serving Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's instructions, and the deity worship, and also distribute books and go on Harinam. They were dedicated to Prabhupada's instructions, and so came up to that standard. But, you know, the deity worship supports the preaching. It is preaching. So it's interesting. Narada Muni is, you know, he's a preacher, but he's also prayed to protect from offences committed in doing our deity worship, interestingly enough. There's a lot of other very elevated personalities who are prayed to in that, the Narayan Kavacha prayers. But that's the only one I remember. It struck me as being interesting that Narada Muni is known as a preacher, yet we pray to him to protect us from offences committed in our deity seva. So, and I have, you know, I have experienced this. One lady a couple of weeks ago wrote to me and was complaining about the behaviour of some of our ISKCON devotees and how they were blaspheming her and criticising her because she was a divorcee. And I think they were saying, you know, this is not what Hare Krishna's, this is not what we Hare Krishna's do. And she was complaining to me, why are these people being so hard on me? Why don't you do something about it? I had to tell her, look, I don't know what every Hare Krishna in heaven is doing or saying. Neither can I be responsible for what they do. But, you know, she was, again, this notion that, oh, you Hare Krishnas are creating enmity in families. We get this criticism from time to time. But I was able to placate her. I said, look, you know, I'm sure this isn't our philosophy. We try to encourage everybody, even if they're divorcees or whatever. Whatever their situation is, we encourage everybody to chant Hare Krishna. And, you know, I'm sorry to hear that you're having this conflict, but is there some way we can make friends? Some way we can get together? She said, no, not now, I'm too hurt. I said, well, let's just let it sit. Let's just let it sit. And let's revisit it later and see if we can. You can create an opportunity where you can tell your friends who you're feeling hurt by right now that how much they hurt you. We can't do it now, we'll do it later. And she said, oh, all right, okay, yeah, that's good advice. But she said, oh, you go to court and this defamation and blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, hang on a second. You'll spend more money than you'll get. Even if you're right, even if you can prove it, defamation is famously, you know, complicated. And so, and even in our preaching, you know, this is why we keep the door closed. If you want to know why we keep the door closed. So, well, there's always somebody opening up the door, and then me coming around and say, close the door. Because I have to deal with a couple of neighbours over here. And, you know, we like to hear the sound of kirtan. So for some reason, they don't like to hear the sound of kirtan at 7 o'clock in the morning. But neighbours on this side, they don't mind. But they said to me, oh, I came home at 4:30 the other day. I don't know whether I'm coming home at 4:30 in the morning. I came home and I heard the sound of the kirtan. Oh boy, it was so nice. Right? So that neighbours on this side are okay. And most of them on this side also, but there's a couple on this side who don't like to hear the sound of the kirtan. So what's, you know, my father used to say, anything for a quiet life. Especially with their neighbours. Although the funny thing is that the council and even the politicians say, oh, who do they think they are? They may just come here. You've been here for 40 years. Ah, just forget about them. But, with, you know, it still doesn't hurt to be friendly with your neighbours. You don't know when they're going to knock a brick on your roof. That's a tradition. If you want to harass your neighbours, that's a traditional Aussie way of doing it. Throw a brick on their roof.
Well, please excuse us, Prabhu.
You're all right. You're fine. Have breakfast.
I just was going to mention a little history. When we were purchasing this place,
yes,
there's actually another part of the same Catholic ownership over on the front corner on the...
Oh, yes.
And it was probably about 4 times the size, maybe 5 or 6 times the size of this
place. Much
bigger,
yeah.
And it was like touch and go, which one were we going to get? But we just, at that time, just couldn't conceive of paying off the amount of money that they wanted for that place. And so we got this instead. Yeah.
And this was $180,000. Must have been close to $1 million. And it was not easy for the devotees to pay off $180,000 for this place. We could have bought those 3 houses. They were also the 3 houses next to us here. And I think they were $10,000 each, and the devotees decided not to buy them. Oops. Okay, does anybody have any comments or questions? I've got to go. Comments? Okay. Grant the Raj Shiva Bhagavad Gita, Guru Prabhupada.